Hello and welcome to a special edition of We've Seen That. I'm TJ Reeves. My co-host Jay Betzel will be along shortly. You can find us and follow us on social media at We've Seen That on Twitter, as well as Facebook and Instagram, and however you found this show, whether it's Blog Talk Radio, or you can subscribe as well via iTunes and Stitcher. We're glad that you did. We're going to go back in time to the 1980s to the classic sports movie Hoosiers, where Gene Hackman leads a ragtag band of high school basketball players all the way to the Indiana State Basketball Championship in dramatic fashion. You'll hear Jay and I recount our favorite parts of the movie, stories, and much more. Again, we taped this program around the 30th anniversary of Hoosiers in 2016. Yes, that movie's been out for 30 years. So let's go back to the special edition of We've Seen That, the 30th anniversary of Hoosiers. Ah, yes, we must have done something right because we're back with another edition of We've Seen That. This is our digital radio show devoted to movies then and now. I am TJ Reeves. He is the famous Jay Betzel. Good to be back with you, partner, on another show.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, TJ. Good stuff.
So the last time that we did this, we kicked everything off, our first ever edition of this, talking Star Wars and how that that cycle has now come back around 30 years later. Speaking of 30 years, and speaking of the time frame that we're doing this, if we're about to head to March, March is my month, Jay. I don't know about you. I was born in the month of March, and it's only fitting that I was born in that month because it's the most exciting month of the year if you're a sports fan because of college basketball. Do you feel me? And March Madness, the NCAA tournament, the Final Four, all of that comes down in March. And so I love this time of the year in general. So I'm in a good mood on the show for this edition of the show.
I love March Madness, and ironically, everybody that listened to the last show knows I'm from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and the Final Four is in Houston, Texas this year, so just a short four-hour drive from where I live.
2 years ago, Final Four in North Texas at Jerry's World, you and I hooked up in person there, hanging out there, and we watched the UConn Huskies put together and finish off a great tournament run to win the NCAA tournament. So if March is synonymous with basketball, it is only appropriate on this edition of We've Seen That. Oh, there it is. And I don't know about you, but the hair on the back of my neck is already standing up because we are going to talk about the 30th anniversary of Hoosiers. This can't be right. Wait a minute, I've got the papers right here. This cannot be right that Hoosiers is 30 years old this year, 2016. That, are we that old? That can't be right.
Ironically, it did. It came out in 1986.
I am amazed. And I do, I have to acknowledge, I do remember watching it as a teenager in high school in the movie theater. And I guess I am getting that old, famous Jay.
Thank you to our friends at the late Orion Pictures. It was actually released on November 14th, 1986.
I want to say that I saw it Thanksgiving weekend because I was looking for something to do after Thanksgiving, like Thanksgiving night or on Friday or on Saturday of that weekend because everybody's off. And I went and saw Hoosiers that weekend. Do you remember seeing Hoosiers? You're a little younger than me. Did you see Hoosiers in the theater or not until it was out on tape?
No, I did not see it in the theater. I remember watching it when it was on HBO and watching it and watching it and watching it and wanting to be those guys in that and going in and shooting hoops in the backyard with my buddies. It was great.
Okay, so we've got so much to talk about with this legendary movie. Gene Hackman is obviously the main star as Coach Norman Dale. Dennis Hopper, the late Dennis Hopper, ends up winning an Academy Award nomination for his role as Shooter in this, the assistant coach, the town drunk that's a former star basketball player And Normandale takes him in. Barbara Hershey is the female in this movie. Of course, Barbara Hershey had been in a couple of things in and around there, including sports related. She was part of The Natural with Robert Redford. So you had some.
I believe she shot.
She shot. Natural, yes, she correct? Shot Roy Hobbs at the beginning of The Natural before taking her own life in a wild twist. And that may come back around in Hoosiers with the romantic references on this. But what I'm saying is these were not unknown actors that were associated with this movie in 1987 with Hackman, Hopper. Hopper had made Easy Rider that made him famous. Hackman, you've got the laundry list of Gene Hackman. He'd made some big movies leading up to 1986.
Oh, Gene Hackman. I mean, where do you start with Gene Hackman? I believe back
early
in,
70s.
Probably his first big movie would be 1967 with Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
And he got was nominated for Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars. And then he was in Downhill Racer with Robert Redford. So got a little sports there. And then, of course, the coming out party, 1971, the classic, The French Connection. Actor for playing Popeye Doyle.
The big one of his big spy movies, Poseidon Adventure, the original Poseidon Adventure. He was the priest as the story unfolded in the Poseidon Adventure. And then many, many more movies, also known in the 90s for Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood, Crimson Tide as Captain Ramsey with Denzel Washington on the nuclear submarine.
Harry Zim and Get Shorty.
Get Shorty in and around there was in Enemy of the State with Will Smith. I mean, on and on.
He was in a couple of John Grisham's, The Chamber, as well as The Runaway Jury.
And The Firm, of course, filmed in Memphis. So Gene Hackman, no slouch. In this time period, he was a well-known actor, and he's obviously the lead. He's the guy that everybody would want to know. So it's fascinating. You and I are going to talk so much about different aspects of this movie, and I feel like for the audience, they're going to love this too. We're going to play every once in a while a game of true or false in and around this movie, and you played true or false with me about Gene Hackman and the role of Coach Normandale. And I didn't believe you, and you may not believe me in what else I found out. So first, you played true or false about Gene Hackman and Coach Normandale as the lead, right? And about whether that was supposed to be Gene Hackman or not.
Yes, I've read in multiple spots, and you know the beauty of the internet is if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Of course. So we're on the internet, and everything we say is true. Exactly.
Absolutely. So I did see that someone else was originally planned to or offered the role of Normandale.
And you put it on me. You said true or false.
Yes.
And you said true or false who?
Jack Nicholson was originally offered the role of Normandale.
And I said that can't be. And you said, no, it's true, and it is true.
It is true.
Nicholson apparently was under contract to do another movie. I don't know what the movie is, and turned down the role. They couldn't make it work. Now, here's a true or false. True or false, there was another actor in between Nicholson and Hackman that they tried to get to play Normandale.
I think it's true. I can't remember who it was, but I do remember Jack Nicholson saying Gene Hackman was his choice if he couldn't play it. So
yeah,
you tell me.
They wanted for a little while Robert Duvall to be Gene Hackman's character, Coach Normandale, and for whatever reason, Robert Duvall couldn't do this.
Robert Duvall, who was in The Natural playing.
That's right. And if it, you know, Duvall before that in The Godfather and so many other movies in and around, but yeah, Duvall did not get the role. Gene Hackman got the role. The film was written by Angelo Pizzo and directed by David Anspaugh. Angelo Pizzo is a native Indianan and wanted to make this movie about Indiana high school basketball and about a famous, here's another true or false, is the movie, for all the fans that are listening and not just for Jay, is the movie based on a true story, Jay Betzel, Hoosiers, 1986. Is it based on a true story?
I'm saying no.
You'd be wrong.
False.
It's true. It's based actually on the 1954 championship team of Tiny Milan High School in Milan, Indiana, and the Milan team winning dramatically in the state championship game on a last-second shot, and Angelo Pizzo knew that story and wanted to remake that story with a different town and some different subplots, but basically the same ending. And so what's interesting is that he and David Anspaugh tried for the better part of about 3 years to convince a Hollywood studio in the 1980s to let them make this basketball movie about Indiana high school basketball from the 1950s. And as you mentioned, the now defunct Orion Pictures finally bought the movie and was willing to give them the opportunity to make this movie with a grand total, Jay Betzel, of a $6 million budget. That's it. They had $6 million to make this movie. That includes paying Hackman, paying Dennis Hopper, paying Barbara Hershey, paying for all the production, everything. $6 million out the door. Not exactly the 80s big budget sci-fi and action movies, right?
No, sir. Not at all. Compared to some of the other big movies where they're just throwing $100 million around to make Days of Thunder and stuff like that.
Yeah, and some of those Schwarzenegger destruction movies, the Die Hard movies, and all the other movies that that seem to just blow through $30, $40, $50 million on special effects and scenes. So in any event, speaking of the scenery in Hoosiers, one of the things you're struck by, because the movie begins with Gene Hackman driving in his car through these Indiana towns trying to get to true or false, Hickory, Indiana actually exists. Jay Betzel, true or false? That is false. It is not an actual town. They made that up. And there's a couple of different towns that actually sufficed for it. They filmed a lot of the movie in one town and then filmed the basketball scenes in another town. So, yeah, it is. It's different. It was actually shot in the fall of 1985, and it was actually filmed in New Richmond, Indiana. That's an actual town, and the gym that they're using is the Knightstown High School gym, which they have now dubbed that Hoosier Gym for the last 30 years after the movie. So the town scenes are one town, the basketball scenes are the other, but as Hackman is driving around, that's a lot of Indiana. I don't know if you've ever been in that state, but I've been in that state on three or four occasions. I've been driving through the middle of Indiana to and from Indianapolis and Muncie and Gary and some of the other towns in northern Indiana, South Bend. That when you're driving along, that looks like the drive at the beginning of Hoosiers when he's going to that town where you see farms, you see cornfields, and you see barns, and you see silos, and you see basketball goals, literally, everywhere. That's the thrust of the movie, Jay Betzel.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, so some fascinating parts of this. They want to reenact the 1954 Milan State Championship team. So these are interesting parts of the movie Hoosiers. They did a casting call. Angelo Pizzo and David Anspaugh and the Orion Pictures folks wanted to go to Indiana to shoot the movie and did a casting call. Out of curiosity, you have any idea how many actors showed up to play basketball players in the movie Hoosiers? How many high school or college age players showed up?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to guess 50.
50 is a low guess. Way too low. They actually had 600. Now, not necessarily that had specific training as actors, but they had 600 people show up to audition for, I guess, the two or three days that they were going to have to audition for the roles to be the basketball players. And it's fascinating how they ended up with what they ended up with, because most of these guys had never acted before. They were Indiana high school basketball players, again, late teens, early 20s, and they cast these different guys as players that were going to be actors in the movie, actors and basketball players. So fascinating that really the only Hollywood actor out of the team of Hoosiers is David Nydorf. Nydorf plays the character Everett Flatch, and Flatch's dad is Shooter Flatch, Dennis Hopper, who's the town drunk. And David Nydorf was cast in that role primarily. And you may know this, Jay. He had been in another Hollywood movie before Hoosiers. You happen to know that movie? Well, I'm just pop quizzing you all over Hoosiers.
Before Hoosiers. No, I know the one.
He was in Platoon, correct. Yeah, that was filmed right before Hoosiers.
Several others, but that was before, okay.
And so Platoon was before, and the actors and producers knew of Everett Flatch, and when he came and auditioned and read, they knew of him as a Hollywood actor, and that character was going to have a lot of lines, if not the most lines, in the movie.
Well, he had to hang with Dennis Hopper.
And he got to hang with Dennis Hopper in the scenes and be able to handle that. So David Nydorf was cast. And the rest of the guys, this is the point, the rest of the guys had no acting experience, basically. They were Indiana teenagers, early 20-year-olds who wanted to come up and be in the movie, and they had to have some basketball playing ability. And so they cast all of these different people that had come to the movie. And I know we're also curious, you and I, about the story of one guy. The mercurial character of the movie out of all the basketball players is the Jimmy Chitwood character.
The greatness of Jimmy Chitwood.
The greatness of Jimmy Chitwood, played by Maris Valanius. And Maris Valanius actually was the only one. Now, how about this? He was the only one of the guys cast in the movie who did not play high school basketball. Even David Nydorf, out in California, had been playing high school basketball previous to acting. All the other actors played high school basketball. Maris Valanius never played high school basketball. He didn't make his team. All 3 years he tried out, including his senior year, he was cut. All three
so similar
years.
Similar to Michael Jordan getting cut from the JV team.
How about that? The guy that plays Jimmy Chitwood, making all those shots in the movie and in the game scenes in the movie, never made his high school basketball team.
The guy that the legendary basketball players of our lifetime want to get their picture taken with and want his autograph, couldn't even make his own high school team.
And
that
as it turns out, he was a golfer. More on that with Maris Valanius a little bit later on. We talk about the but so the way he got discovered is either I believe Angelo Pizzo or David Ansbaugh. I saw him fooling around playing pickup basketball while waiting for the auditions, and he was actually in line for the audition after they had seen him, and he was going to leave, and either Pizzo or Ansbaugh, whichever one it was, saw him getting ready to leave and said, "Wait a minute, where are you going?" to Maris Valanius, and Valanius said, "I'm leaving," and he said, "You don't need to leave. You need to wait. You need to come read some lines for us because you might have a chance here. You might have potential here." And so that's how the guy that ended up playing Jimmy Chitwood, arguably the most famous player out of the whole Hoosiers movie, almost that actor almost passed up on the chance at audition time.
That is crazy. I mean, he was so great in that part. And the funny thing is, he probably says maybe 20 words of the whole movie. But it's just he played that part so great. You know, just the fact that he was Jimmy Chitwood.
That's the voice of the famous Jay, Jay Betzel. Jay is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm TJ Reeves. It is our movie digital radio show and podcast. We've seen that, Movies Then and Now, and we are talking about Hoosiers. And yeah, four total lines for Jimmy Chitwood, including the famous line at the very end and the very dramatic scene of the timeout right before the game-winning shot in the Indiana State High School Championship game, where everybody's looking at him, and he looks at Coach Norman Dale, Jimmy Chitwood, and says, "What, Jay Betzel?" to him.
"I'll make it.
I'll make it." The famous line, and that he does, one of only
well,
four.
Well, not only that,
movie.
I mean, obviously, by virtue of the title of this podcast, we've seen that. We're assuming everyone has seen Hoosiers.
Oh, of course they have.
But on the off chance you haven't seen it as recently as I have, basically, Coach Norman Dale calls a play for Merle. He's going to use Jimmy as a decoy. And the body language of his entire team basically has him say, "God, what's wrong with you guys? You know, we've come back and we have a chance to win the state championship." And so Jimmy steps up and says, "Coach, I'll make it.
And
the reason we'll win.
And the reason for that is they know the story of Shooter, who missed the famous shot, and the concern was for any of them to take the famous shot. And so, yeah, Merle Webb's character, Kent Poole, the actor, is the one that stands up out of the huddle, like, "I'm not going to take the shot," and Jimmy Chitwood has to stand in. So it's fascinating how all this came about, but the different actors came together and they filmed this movie in the fall of 1985 in that town of New Richmond, Indiana.
Well, let me say this too, yeah. TJ, you know, this was the time in the mid 80s of the Brat Pack. We had The Outsiders, which had Tom Cruise, Rob Lowe, Matt Dillon,
right,
Ralph Macchio,
right,
C. Thomas Howell. We had St. Elmo's Fire. We had The Breakfast Club. And the best part about Hoosiers is it wasn't any of these guys we recognized. These guys were all, you know, total unknowns.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So when you look at Everett, you see Everett. When you see Ollie, you think his name is Ollie. You think he's playing himself.
Of course.
Jimmy Chitwood is Jimmy Chitwood. It's not Charlie Sheen or Rob Lowe playing Jimmy Chitwood, you know, looking like they came off the beach in Malibu and they're in Indiana. These guys were great in this movie.
No doubt about that. And of course, the most famous scene involving Jimmy Chitwood prior to the big basketball scene. Well, the two most famous scenes. The first one is where Norman Dale is interacting with Jimmy, or trying to, out on the dirt basketball court, where he is shooting, and Coach Norman Dale is trying to convince him or not to come play for Hickory, but he actually says to him, it doesn't matter to me or not if you come and play.
Well, part of it is, you know, Norman Dale has been told by everyone in the entire city, whether it's the barber or the police chief or whoever, that you cannot win without
you
Jimmy
gotta
Chitwood.
Have him. You got to have him. Yeah, exactly.
So it's essentially, basically, he's going to Jimmy saying, hey, I know the whole town thinks that we have to have you, but we're going to play whether you're there or not. We'd love to have you, but in the end, I think the quote is, I don't care if you play for me or not.
Okay, fun one. In that scene on the dirt, and again, if you've seen the movie, he can't really bounce the ball, Jimmy Chitwood, because it's dirt out on this open field where he's shooting. It's an overcast situation. Looks like it could storm any moment, and he's shooting the basketball over and over again. When you go back and see the movie again, and I'm going to go back and watch it again, so are you, and so is probably a lot of our audience.
I watch it every time it
comes
on.
He doesn't ever miss a shot until the very end. All right, are you ready for the best? That was the only take. They were rolling a couple of cameras from a couple of different angles. They only apparently did one take of that scene, and Marius Valanius doesn't miss a shot the entire time that Gene Hackman's talking to him.
When
while
here's
that
something
scene's
else
going
funny.
On.
We've talked about basketball movies over the, you know, 5 or 6 years we've known each other, and there's another one we've talked about, Blue Chips.
Yeah.
And there's a scene similar to that where Bob Cousy is playing the athletic director, and he keeps making every free throw, and Nick Nolte keeps passing it back to him. He's playing the coach, and he keeps passing it back. He keeps making it. He keeps passing it back, similar to Gene Hackman. And then finally he misses one at the end.
Yeah, not unlike what happened here. Maybe that was a tribute to Hoosiers with Nolte
and that
crew. So, okay, the movie progresses on, and you know, I love so many different facets of this movie, but they do the love interest thing where Barbara Hershey's character Myra Fleener wants nothing to do with Norman Dale because she thinks that Norman Dale represents everything that's wrong with the high school education situation, and she's going to convince Jimmy Chitwood to be something other than an academic and go somewhere with his grades and try to be a basketball player. She wants nothing to do with him, yet they end up romantically involved. There's a little love interest.
And
here.
How does that happen? Do you remember?
Well,
her mother set him up.
I think, right. The mother set him up, and then of course, she becomes, you know, almost bent on wanting to ruin him, and she finds out about him. There's no internet in those days in the 1950s, but she finds out famously that Coach Norman Dale in Ithaca, New York, has punched one of his high school players and been banned by New York from being able to coach, and that the New York college system and the NCAA are going to honor the ban, and that's why Norman Dale went to the Navy before ending up as the fictitious Hickory High School coach. Being called in, but they
his
end
buddy
up.
Cletus was the principal, remember,
right?
And he brought him in. And Cletus has heart problems when he's helping Coach Dale coach
right.
the team.
Sheb
and
Woolley
so Myra ends up stepping in for him as principal, and she wants to run him out of town.
Right, she wants him gone. And Sheb Woolley, the actor, has to go find a basketball coach because unfortunately, the Hickory basketball coach has passed away, has died. And they need a new basketball coach, and he reaches out for Norman Dale. So that's the whole crux of this. But they end up a love interest. What do you make of that, Jay Betzel, that Hackman and Hershey end up a love interest in this script? Norman Dale and Myra Fleener, his nemesis, they end up romantically involved.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think it kind of makes Norman Dale a little more human because he's such a drill sergeant when he's with his players. You know, I mean, basically at the beginning, he even tells him it's not a democracy. What I say is the law, you know, and everything about him is so straightforward. So whenever he's out there at the farm, he's talking to her and he says, hey, you want to go catch a movie at Deer Lake? You're like, OK, hey, this is a real person who has feelings. And I think, it also helps him with his team to actually kind of let his guard down a little bit.
Yeah, and I still remember this. We love Bill Simmons. You and I love Bill Simmons, and I remember reading this over a decade ago, and I think he did it in and around the 20th anniversary of Hoosiers, something like that, which would have been around 2006 or maybe a little earlier. But he made mention of this, that the kiss scene when they're walking on the farm, walking along the path on the farm, and they finally decide to kiss, Hackman and Hershey, he dubbed it as the most uncomfortable kiss in the history of all sports movies. And I'm not so sure that I disagree, that at that point you're going, ooh, is he that desperate? Has he been that lonely on the Navy ship that he's going to turn, I guess, to his nemesis? Myra Fleener for affection and for love, but
well, you know, I mean, she's pretty much the only woman we see in the movie. But you know, a subtle plug for Bill Simmons, his new website, The Ringer, will be coming soon. So go to theringer.com, right. Check that out.
Maybe
he'd like to put us on his Channel 33 podcast. If
maybe he would, and maybe he'll write a 30th anniversary thing, and it can be tied in somehow to We've Seen That, our movie show and our podcast.
Just saying, Bill, about if you're Hoosiers out there and you're listening, you like what you hear, we're available.
Okay, so there's some interesting parts to this story where those two are going back and forth, and she is unsure about whether or not he's going to stick around or not. And she's basically told him that she wanted to leave, but her mother got sick and she had to come back to Hickory.
And he called her on it. He said, "You never planned on going anywhere."
Well, right, but she did leave. And she did come back, and so would she leave to go and get married and live somewhere else and chase her dreams? And that's interesting with how it plays out at the very end of the movie, and I'll share more about that in a little bit. Okay, so let's get to what ends up happening, which is Hickory goes on this miracle run, small school. Again, we hope you're enjoying this look back at the movie Hoosiers. This is an anniversary special that Jay Betzel and I did back in 2016 on the 30th anniversary of this movie. A reminder to follow us on social media at We've Seen That on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Whether you found us on Blog Talk Radio or if you found us through subscribing through iTunes or Stitcher, you can check out the catalog of all of our podcasts, our digital movie shows, whether it be Die Hard or Miracle or Basic Instinct or Days of Thunder or on and on down the list. Check out that entire catalog via Blog Talk Radio and also iTunes and Stitcher. Let's get back to our conversation on the 30th anniversary of the movie Hoosiers from 2016 as we talk about Gene Hackman and Dennis Hopper and the band of high school basketball stars that basically made the screen come alive with the story of a little school winning the Indiana State Basketball Championship. Now back to Jay and my conversation as we recapped Hoosiers. All right, so let's go over the actual school, Milan High School in 1954. So Hickory supposedly only had 6 players on their team. Did they stay true to the Milan basketball team, the actual basketball team, and how few players they had? True or false, the Milan state championship team only had 6 players, Jay Betzel?
If Milan, I'm going to say true, Milan had 6 and Hickory, I believe, had 7.
Yeah, it's false. Milan actually had 10 guys. Milan actually had over 70 boys that year, as the stories are told and the records are kept. Had over 70 boys come out for the basketball team, and they kept 10 on the team. 10 was the limit for that
year. So anyone listening can tell who's done the research and who was watching.
Right, but you know, we both have done it, and I wanted to hit you and the audience with this. So just play along here if you're the audience, too, not just the famous Jay. Well, I try to seem smart. Yeah, I've got a lot of this in front of me, too, by the way, which is a good thing. Okay, so here's another one. One of my favorite scenes in the movie is when Ollie, the manager, is thrust into the playoff game with the opportunity to shoot the game-winning free throws as it's turning out.
Hold that thought on Ollie real quick.
Yeah.
Before they made their run, I wanted to point out that David Neidorf, you were talking about earlier, who we've also mentioned was in Bull Durham and Platoon, his father, Dennis Hopper, in the movie, that when Cletus was laid up, Norman Dale brought Dennis Hopper in, a shooter, to be the assistant coach.
That's right.
And that was a pretty important part of the movie, too, because that kind of that went against what everybody in the town wanted. They didn't want this town drunk hanging out with these kids. And Everett, the son, he didn't want his father there because he's a loser and he's going to mess things up. And so that was another thing where here you have this guy who's basically just a basketball coach, you know, essentially reaching out to help somebody in their life. And, you know, and as you mentioned earlier, the part of his drinking problem comes from when he was in high school and his shot went in and out. And he's never been able to relive the glory days, but he does know more about basketball than pretty much anyone. So Gene Hackman says, hey, we want you to be a part of this, and basically tries to help him dry out.
Well, and of course, I thought you were leading to the famous scene about him, Normandale, getting himself kicked out of the game. Hackman gets himself purposely kicked out of the game so that Dennis Hopper's shooter character, the assistant coach, has to diagram the winning play. And the winning play is for Merle Webb to shoot the winning
fence
off the picket fence, a triple screen known as the picket fence. And famously, Jay Betzel, don't get caught watching the paint dry.
He had made Normandale promise he wouldn't get kicked out of any games, and then he goes and purposely gets thrown out.
Okay. Now we fast forward. So Ollie is at the foul line.
Hopper is in the hospital drying out.
Right. And
Ollie is on the playoff run.
And Ollie's at the foul line. Is that based on what actually happened with Milan High School with the free throws to go to the state championship game, or was that made up?
False on everything, so I'm going to say true.
You should have gone false again. It's actually not true. The Milan team actually won every game going to the state championship game by double figures, including the state semifinal game. So in the movie, Ollie makes the free throws to go to the state championship game.
Underhanded, no less.
Underhanded. And what a great moment, too, when Kent Poole's character, Merle Webb, comes up to him with the ultimate encouragement of, you can do this. You could do this.
And well, the other guys are making fun of him on the other team.
Oh, sure.
They know the groom's so short on the farm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and Gene Hackman, I should say, too, in the huddle, is tremendous as well, where he says, when you make these free throws, Ollie, and he looks at him and says, you will make them.
And then get back on defense. For a last
and
shot.
Do you ever notice when you watch it again for the fans and for Jay, do you ever notice how close the half court shot is to going in? Inbound the ball with 1 second left.
Oh, it should have gone in.
And the guy almost makes a half court 2-point shot. No 3-pointers in those days that still would have won the game. But what a moment there for the manager, played by Wayne Schneck, Ollie, making the free throws. And I'll digress here and tell you that I got a chance to meet Wayne Schneck last year as we're taping this in 2015. I got a chance to meet him at the 2015 Final Four in Indianapolis. So neat to get to meet and be around the real Ollie, who became the famous Ollie. Okay, so that takes us now to the dramatic conclusion of the movie as we continue along here talking about Hoosiers. I don't know about you, but I didn't know about the true story. I didn't know how this movie was going to end, but as it turns out, Angelo Pizzo and David Ansbaugh, they knew how this movie had to turn out, with the Hickory team obviously winning at the very end, but it was just neat to watch how all of that unfolded, Jay, with the championship game, and just fascinating that the little tiny Hickory Huskers would make the championship game.
Well, how great was it when they first arrived to Butler and they do the deal with the tape measure to show that they have the exact same setbacks as they do at the gym back in Hickory?
Right.
And even then, Gene Hackman kind of lets his guard down for a second and says, wow, that really is big.
It is a big place. Okay, so some fun things about that. Let's play true or false. Did that
I've done so well so far.
Right. Did that actually happen with the 1954 Milan Championship team and their head coach Marvin Wood? Is that a true situation, or was that completely made up by the filmmakers? What say you, Famous Jay?
Which part? The tape measure?
The tape measure.
I'll say it's true.
That is absolutely true. Very good. Marvin Wood, the coach, wanted to get the point across to his players. Do not be intimidated in this big gym. And it is pretty much, as you see in the movie, where one of the smaller players got on one of the bigger players' shoulders, and they hung the tape measure from the rim 10 feet down to the ground, tape measure from the baseline to the foul line 15 feet, and Marvin Wood said something to the effect of, you will find these same dimensions at our gym back in Milan, Indiana, where they were the team. So how about that?
That is awesome.
That actually did happen. In the Wayback Machine. Okay, so this is the big climactic final scenes of the movie. What a great scene prior to the game where Gene Hackman is with his guys, the six players on this team, seven as we now include Buddy back in the fold. Remember Buddy, the character in the movie that's being played in this instance by Brad Long, the actor. Buddy disappears. Remember, he gets kicked off the team.
Is there a director's version where they explain how he came back?
Well, yes. So on the extra scenes and the deleted scenes, it's explained by David Ansbaugh and by Angelo Pizzo. They had specific instructions from Orion Pictures that this movie had to be under 2 hours, budget wise, and with the unions and everything they were dealing with. And so they had to cut some scenes from the movie, including the scene where Buddy comes to Gene Hackman and basically begs for another opportunity to come back to the team. And Gene Hackman doesn't want to give him the chance. And one of the girls, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or one of the cheerleaders, she talks to Gene Hackman about how everybody deserves a second chance, Jay Betzel. And of course,
like Norman Dale.
Yes, Norman Dale got a second chance, and so Buddy gets a second chance. But we never see that in the movie because that scene never made it in the movie.
Well, you know, we saw him basically walk out of the first practice, and the next thing we know, he's telling Coach Norman Dale the flavor of gum that the guy was he's guarding. So.
Right, he was Dentine.
He was Dentine.
As the movie unfolds, so Buddy is back in the fold. They're in the locker room prior to the game, and Norman Dale, Gene Hackman, says to the players, is there anything anybody wants to say? And the hair on the back of my neck is standing up right now as actor Ken Poole, the late Ken Poole, we'll get to this in a minute, playing Merle Webb, utters the famous line, Jay, let's win this one for the little schools that never got a chance to be here. Oh, what a line. What a moment. And that just makes the movie. And I thought it was neat that in the time after this, that unfortunately Kent Poole fell on hard times, depression, some alcohol abuse, and eventually took his own life. And in seeing Angelo Pizzo and David Ansbaugh give an interview, it was very tough for them to talk about Kent Poole and his memory. But as Pizzo said, the filmmaker, he was the perfect one of the actors to utter that line. We wanted him to be the one, Merle Webb's character, to utter that line. Let's do this for all the little guys that never got here. And so, true or false, did Kent Poole ever participate? Was he ever on a team that participated in the Indiana State playoffs? What do you think? True or false?
I think true he was, but he didn't win.
How about bingo for you? Your truth meter's getting much better. Kent Poole was on a state finalist basketball team.
Really?
Yes, from Western Boone High School in Indiana. They played for the state championship and lost in the final minute. So what a great guy to have utter that line.
Well, not only that, kind of flipping back to Buddy, in there a part when Buddy says, I want to win this for Coach? Who got us here.
Yes.
The guy who walked out on the coach at the beginning is totally bought into Norman Dale's system.
I love it. But Kent Poole actually played in an Indiana State High School basketball championship game, and they didn't win it, and now he's part of the movie and the story. Okay, so we get to this championship game and them playing it. Again, some good, and again, we're going over different things that if you've seen the movie Hoosiers a bunch of times, we hope that in some of these instances you'll go back and see it again and go, ah, all right. How about this? They couldn't find enough extras to come be part of the championship game scene. They had trouble finding anybody to respond. So you know what the filmmakers had to do? True or false, they had to actually solicit the state of Indiana to help them by playing a high school basketball game in Hinkle Fieldhouse and use some of the crowd with their extras for the crowd scenes in Hoosiers. You know what that answer is.
I would say, yeah, it better be true.
It was true. They actually had two competing high schools. They arranged for two competing high schools to come play on a Saturday in Hinkle Fieldhouse, which seats more than 10,000 people, use the fans of those teams and what extras they had. The fans agreed for the movie scenes to dress up in the 1950s clothing. And so pregame, before the basketball game, halftime before the in the middle of the basketball game of the actual high school game in 1985 or 86, whenever they shot it, and post game, they used the fans from the high schools with the extras. And that's also one of the reasons, Famous Jay, as to why they don't show the upper levels of Hinkle Fieldhouse, because they only had about 1,500 or so people to move around in Hinkle Fieldhouse to show the crowd scenes in and around that championship game. How about that?
Well, that's crazy. And this is kind of off the top of my head. I remember the 1989 movie Major League, with where Charlie Sheen, yeah, and Tom Berenger and all played the Cleveland Indians. And they,
yes,
filmed it at Milwaukee's County Stadium.
Very good, yes.
And I believe that they would fill up like a section.
Correct.
And then basically have the fans move over or whatever.
They would shoot them, yeah, behind the home dugout, and then they would shoot them behind home plate, and then they would shoot them in the outfield scenes. That's exactly right. Very,
well,
similar.
You, you know,
very good. Good.
I was
good.
An extra.
Yeah.
I was an extra in the movie Any Given Sunday when they filmed here back in the late 90s. They filmed it at the late Texas Stadium. That was the home of the Dallas Cowboys before AT&T Stadium. And we had Al Pacino and Dennis Quaid and Jamie Foxx and LL Cool J. Everybody from the movie was here. And they had, like, schools bust in. And it was insane because, you know, you're not going to fill up a stadium
of
65,000 people in the middle of the summer. But, yeah, it was a big deal. And they had casting calls and everything. And that was kind of, you know, seeing behind the scenes. They put everybody into one little corner when they were doing that, and had everybody, they handed out red shirts and everything to kind of fit with what was going on.
That's, and you know, remember now, what you're talking about is 15 years or so, well, maybe 12 or 13 years or so after Hoosiers is being made, and the computer technology and the special effects are not the same back in 1985,
oh, true. Absolutely not.
1986, around that time period. So,
but
you had to have, my point
probably
is,
had a bigger budget.
Sure, and remember now, we referenced earlier only $6 million to make this entire movie, including paying the cast and everybody involved. But they had to have, my point is, actual bodies, what you're talking about.
Right.
You physically,
yeah,
had to have people to come and fill it up. So fascinating that's what they ended up doing. Okay, couple of more fun ones from the championship game of Hoosiers as we talk about it here. How about we talk about Milan High School, and that's the movie being based off of Milan High School, little tiny high school winning the whole thing. How true is the way the championship game unfolded to what actually happened with Milan High School? True or false? They stuck to the real-life script of Milan winning the championship game, or did they create a different script for Hoosiers and how it played out?
I'm going to wing it here just because I know how great of a movie this is. I don't think it actually happened that way. I'm going to say Milan won, but it wasn't on a last-second.
All right, how about this? So Milan, as we mentioned earlier here in the show, had won every game leading up to the championship game by double digits. Milan jumped out in the state championship game to a huge first half lead. Now, remember, this is 1950s basketball, no three-point shot, no shot clock, none of that. So, as it turns out, Marvin Wood, the coach with the big lead, started having them stall, hold the ball. And Bobby Plump, the star player, the Jimmy Chitwood, on a couple of occasions in the third and fourth quarter, would stand and just hold the ball and wait to be fouled or try to kill the clock because they were so far ahead. So that's the opposite as in the movie, where Hickory is basically in trouble in this game, playing South Bend Central. There actually is a South Bend Central High School, but that's not the high school that played Milan in 1954. The high school in Milan was a Muncie, Indiana high school. But the South Bend Central team is dominating our Hickory Hoosiers in the championship game, Jay, throughout the game. They, in fact, remember the one scene in the timeout huddle where I believe it's Raid, the character, says, "Man, they're all over us, and we can't do anything. They're too big,
Coach
they're
Norman
too strong."
Dale basically,
and what
says,
did Norman Dale say?
"We don't belong here."
Yeah,
maybe everybody was right.
Maybe everybody was right about us. We don't belong here. And then somebody else speaks up. in that huddle and says, "Coach, I think Jimmy can take the guy that's guarding him. Can I say something? I think Jimmy should get the chance." And so that's when Marius Valanius becomes even more of a folk hero for making all the shots and leading
the comeback.
And your favorite
soundtrack kind of comes into play while he's doing that.
Oh, it's tremendous. It's tremendous, that soundtrack. And by the way, when we're talking about award nominations for this movie, it was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. It was nominated for Best Supporting Actor Dennis Hopper that year in 1986. But also for Best Score for the music of this movie was also nominated for an Oscar and Academy Award.
Jerry Goldsmith.
How about that? And Jerry Goldsmith would team up, okay, more trivia, would team up with David Anspaugh, the director, and Angelo Pizzo, the filmmaker, on another movie a few years later. What movie? Do you know?
I'm going to wing it and say Rudy.
Yes.
That's the only other movie I knew those two guys
and
did.
And his score, again, is phenomenal in the movie Rudy, which, again, Pizzo's an Indiana guy, so he wants to make the true story about Rudy come to life for playing for Notre Dame. So
with Sean Astin, who had been in such classics as like Father Like Son and Toy Soldiers,
right, and then later
and the Goonies,
and then later Sean Astin, more famous for the Lord of the Rings and that stuff. But yeah, but Rudy was again the same movie. So anyway, that music just makes the final scene. Okay, again, one more bit of true and false. Does the movie stay true to what happened with Milan High School at the end of the state championship game? What do you believe, true or false?
So you mean, did Milan win, or did Milan win on a last-second shot?
All of the above. Did they stay true to the script?
I believe Milan won, but it was not a last-second shot.
How about they did win, and Bobby Plump is the hero with the last-second shot? As it turns out, the Muncie team made a comeback in the fourth quarter and actually got the game tied, and Bobby Plump held the ball for the final minute of the game with no shot clock and ended up taking 2 defenders and making the game-winning shot to win the state championship for Milan High School in 1954. So that's kind of the pattern of the timeout we were talking about earlier, where nobody wants to take the winning shot, so Jimmy Chitwood is going to take the winning shot. And that is, in fact, what he does. And he ends up making that winning shot. And I don't know about you, but again, the hair on my arms and neck are standing up, and I've seen Hoosiers 100 times, and I want to see it again, to see that winning shot that wins Little Hickory High School the Indiana State Championship.
Well, not only that, you know, it's kind of funny that, you know, none of these other guys went on to be in any other big movies per se. They kind of are known as these characters.
Sure.
And so when I go back and watch this movie, which I tend to do pretty much every time I see that it's on, it's almost like you're visiting old friends.
Oh, no
even
doubt.
Even though you know what's going to happen with all of them, and even though when you're watching Kent Poole play Merle Webb, you know that he's not alive anymore. And when you see David Neidorf, you know that he was in Bull Durham playing the catcher before Kevin Costner showed up, and you know, and on and on and on. You know, Marius Valanius has had, you know, Kobe Bryant and these other guys hero worship him. But when this movie comes on, you know, Gene Hackman's not the guy from The Firm or Enemy of the State. He's Coach Norman Dale.
Very
and
good
Dennis
point.
Dennis Hopper's not the guy from Blue Velvet or Easy Rider. He's Shooter. And it's just, it's like I said, it's like visiting old friends, and it's just, it's such a great movie to watch. And I, you know, I'm always happy when it comes on. And it's kind of one of those things where when I'm flipping through and I catch it, it's kind of like a Shawshank Redemption or some of those kind of movies where I just throw the remote off the side.
You got to go ahead and catch back up. Okay, let's have some more fun with True or False, and the audience can play along here on We've Seen That, movies then and now. Okay, so I mentioned the high school basketball fans are there, and so they end up shooting the game-winning scenes here after the high school basketball game, and everybody is stuck around for them to shoot these scenes. Fun one. True or false, there is only one rush the court scene, one take that was shot for the rush the court scene, or did they do it multiple times? True or false, there was only one rush the court scene where everybody runs on the floor and you see what you see.
In Jimmy Chitwood, I believe. I think there was one shot.
There was only one take. He makes the shot while they're rolling on it, and they had told everybody when the ball goes in, or even if it doesn't go in, everybody run on the floor. So that's exactly what you see, and that's the one and only take of the crowd running on the floor that you see in the movie. And then, of course, they shoot some other ancillary scenes, of the South Bend Central players being consoled and looking out on the court.
Whenever they do that with the coach from South Bend Central talking to his players, I kind of get memories of John Thompson doing that with Fred Brown at the Georgetown, North Carolina game when Michael Jordan's team.
Excellent memory.
He passed it to James Worthy.
That's right.
Kind of what I think of.
And you know, that would have been four or five years before they made this movie, and maybe they added that. But, yeah, it's a great moment where he's consoling his players. And there's even a moment, too. I know our buddy Bill Simmons, I referenced him earlier in this show, he points it out in one of his articles that he did on this movie, that one of the South Bend Central fictitious players is looking at Jimmy Chitwood and almost giving him the sign of respect. You belong here, Hickory. You belong here, Jimmy Chitwood. You beat us. And that's kind of a neat moment as everybody ran on the floor. Now, what's interesting, they did another take without the crowd rushing on the floor while they had everybody there in the stands, and Jimmy Chitwood misses the game-winning shot, but they obviously used a couple of other versions with the ball going through the net, and you notice there's a couple of cutaways of the ball going through the net, but it is fascinating that the one and only take where they planned for everybody to run on the floor, he made that one for the game-winning jumper to win the state championship.
The greatness, so, Jimmy Chitwood, just coming through.
Okay, so let's cover a couple of more things as we talk about the movie Hoosiers. All right, here's another fascinating one. Again, with the deleted scenes, and if you have the old school DVD, you know about this from the director's comments and the deleted scenes, you're kind of cheated. The next time you go back and watch the movie, you're kind of cheated out of something. Because you see, and Jay, you're going to remember this, you see Gene Hackman on the floor, and they've given him the ball, and they're celebrating with everybody around him, and Barbara Hershey, Myra Fleener, and her mother are in the stands, and Hackman's looking at her, and she is looking at him. Do you know why that is? Any idea? Because the filmmakers cut the scene out of the movie that would tell you what this is all about. He looks at her. She looks at him. What do you think?
After the game, when they're celebrating.
After the game, there's a famous pause where he is standing on the floor with the crowd around him. He's looking at her. She's looking at him. And it's because she has told him in that deleted scene that no matter what happens, he's encouraged her and she's leaving Hickory. She's gone.
Nice.
And so he's looking at her like, we just won the title. Are you really going to leave? And she's looking back at him almost like, if I'm leaving, will you come with me? And they're looking at each other. And that's what those looks are about. But we don't know that because that scene was cut from the movie.
Because remember, there's a part when he has a little press conference, he's walking away, and she asks, or somebody says, hey, Coach, are you going to come back to Hickory? And he kind of laughs it off.
And
she takes the megaphone. Coach, it's a good question.
Exactly. So. Because they have been talking, and eventually she decides she's going to do what she said. She's going to leave Hickory, and she knows that he's likely going to leave Hickory. Why don't we leave together? That's what the looks are for. The romantic angle comes back in.
Norman Dale's run there is almost like Peyton Manning that we just saw with the Super Bowl with the Broncos. There was no reason for him to come back.
Yes.
He was going to deal with the same nonsense
just
every year.
Just go out on top.
Yeah, and you can't top that.
Okay, so that's the climactic end of the movie, and of course you see the picture of the fictitious Hickory high school guys standing there, and it says 1952 state champs, and of course Gene Hackman's words, "I love you guys," ends the movie.
Boom.
Kind of fade to black. What a great way to put it away there with Hoosier. So let's do a little aftermath while we have a moment or two, and some of this is just fun stuff to reminisce. We talked about Kent Poole, and unfortunately about 10-12 years after making this movie, actually, about 14 years after making this movie, Kent Poole tragically took his own life. Amazingly enough, there's a great documentary online. If you search Kent Poole's name, you will find a documentary that I believe Jay Betzel was done by high school or at least college age students that were from Western Boone High School in Indiana. They wanted to do a tribute to Kent Poole, and they interview his widow, they interview his kids, they interview actors from the movie talking about Kent Poole, and it's really a nice tribute in the aftermath of this, him playing the character Merle Webb. Fond remembrance in the documentary and how special that time was for all of these guys that came together on this movie for the fall of 1985 and early 1986 to make the movie. And again, they weren't actors, they were Indiana guys, Jay.
right? And I believe that I did a little research a while back on this, and I believe one of them, like Raid, might be a dentist now or something.
You are correct. The actor that played Raid Butcher, the guy that famously goes to the bench for not passing the ball four times at the beginning of the season, Steve Holler is his name. And Steve Holler is a dentist in upstate Indiana. And seldom, he's in a smaller town, seldom does anybody really anymore kind of gawk at him or say, hey, aren't you the guy from Hoosiers? But it does come up from time to time, so he says. And so how about that, that 30 years later he is a dentist. Now, what about Marius Valenis, as we've been talking about? You and I are golf guys, and do you know about some of the travails of Marius Valenis after this basketball movie where he plays the legendary Jimmy Chitwood?
You know, a friend of mine that's a bigger golf guy than I am, I love following the PGA Tour, but he actually plays like in practices and stuff, and he told me that Jimmy Chitwood is a golf pro now, a teaching pro.
Yes, at one point he was a teaching pro in Southern California. I looked and I could not find this before the movie. I could not find the connection, but I remember hearing or reading, and maybe somebody again can send us Twitter evidence or some way to verify this. You can tweet him at the famous J. So tweet him at the famous J. You can tweet me at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC Buck Sideline Guy, Twitter handle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and being part of their radio broadcast. I remember this, and I could not find it, that I believe that Marius Valenis was at least a course worker, if not an assistant golf pro, at the famed Riviera Golf Course in Los Angeles, California, which is famous for a PGA Tour stop, and it is also very famous because O.J. Simpson was a member there, and remember the whole controversy with the murders, that he had played golf that morning, that Sunday morning at Riviera, that Marius Valenis may have worked or been an assistant golf pro at that famous golf club back in the 1990s, in the early to mid-1990s, that he worked his way as a golf pro. How about that, Jay Betzel?
That's insane. I did see here, I actually cheated while you were talking and got on the internet, and I have one where it says he was a golf pro at Rancho San Joaquin Golf Course in Irvine, California.
How about that?
40 minutes outside of L.A.
Okay, and he also has been in the construction business, but did you know, while we talk about the guy that played Jimmy Chitwood in the movie, that he became a caddy, speaking of the PGA Tour, on the PGA Tour, I guess in golfing in Southern California, he became the caddy, and a few years ago was caddying, very interestingly enough, for a PGA Tour golfer, Mike Sposa, who he befriended, and he caddied in the 2013 season for Sposa for over 10 events, and it was interesting, he worked the John Deere Classic as a caddy for Mike Sposa, and a reporter actually recognized him on the driving range, came up to him and said, aren't you the actor that played in Hoosiers, which he gets all the time, and he said, yes, and they had a conversation, and so this reporter at this golf course in Illinois for the PGA Tour event says, how much have you been recognized? He said, not really at all. There was only one other PGA Tour golfer, caddy, or personnel that actually figured out that he was Jimmy Chitwood from Hoosiers carrying the bag for Mike Sposa that year as a PGA Tour caddy, Jay. What do you make of that?
That is awesome.
So that was back about 3 years ago. I don't know if he's still caddying or what he's up to. We mentioned David Nydorf, who went on to act in some other movies. Do you know about David Nydorf and what he's up to these days? It's not exactly caddying on the PGA Tour or fame involving golf or another sport.
David Nydorf now, I'm going to take a blind guess and say he's a stockbroker.
He's not a stockbroker. He actually is in business with relatives and friends and lives in Medford, Oregon, with his wife and family, moved out of Hollywood, got disenchanted with living in Hollywood, settled down, wife and kids, and moved to Medford, Oregon. And I saw a clip with Nydorf on the internet where he said he does get recognized from time to time for being part of Hoosiers or Platoon or Bull Durham, and that it's neat whenever he does so. So that's one of those actors. I mentioned earlier.
Hey, funny joke or funny story about David Nydorf real quick. The other day I was at the gym, and they had a rerun of the TV show Hunter with Fred Dreyer.
Oh, you're kidding
me. And he was a guest star on it.
So he made an episode of Hunter.
Acapulco or something. So that's the guy from Hoosiers.
He cashed a royalty check just for that viewing, just from you.
Exactly.
Off of that. Now, I mentioned that at the 2015 Final Four in Indianapolis that I got a chance to meet Wayne Schneck, who played Ollie, the manager, and they were doing a tribute with the Final Four being in 1985 and the movie having been filmed in, or the Final Four having been in 2015 and the movie having been filmed 30 years earlier. And Wade was signing autographs and the whole thing. So I had a brush with greatness there on that one. So how cool is that on some of the where are they now aspects to what we're talking about on We've Seen That with Hoosiers. We got a couple of minutes left here in this. Have we pretty well covered everything? Of course, Dennis Hopper has passed away, very, very sadly battled cancer and other illnesses for several years and passed away a few years ago, but he will always be Shooter. Got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Gene Hackman is now, in his 80s as we're talking in the year 2016, still alive, although no longer acting. He'll always be one of those characters. I love to think of him as Coach Norman Dale from Hoosiers for sure.
Absolutely. And while we do have about a minute or so left, is there any other basketball movies that kind of jump out at you? I mean, maybe not to compare to Hoosiers, but other basketball movies?
Well, this time of year, when we talk March, White Men Can't Jump. And maybe we got to do a future show. This is the I can't believe this. This is the 25th year of the making of White Men Can't Jump with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson and Rosie Perez. Ron Shelton's movie, Ron directed.
Don't forget Marcus Johnson had the big role.
That's right, yes.
Rob the convenience yes. Play of the game.
So that's 25 years old. What other basketball movies come to mind for you, real quick?
I really enjoyed He Got Game. I thought Ray Allen was good in that.
Denzel Washington.
Blue Chips with Shaquille O'Neal playing Neon Bedeau and Anthony Hardaway playing McRae.
Pete,
basketball theme movie? Wait. Forrester?
Wait a minute. But Nick Nolte is what? Coach Pete Bell, the Bobby Knight clone, and they end up playing Indiana for that movie. And, of course, it's blasphemy in the movie because Bobby Hurley, who's a former Duke star player, national champion, and now a college basketball coach, Bobby Hurley's wearing an Indiana jersey. Talk about blasphemy, a Duke guy wearing an Indiana jersey in the movie, in Blue Chips, if you ever see that again. And what did you say?
You've got Ed O'Neill from Married with Children, reporter named Ed.
Yeah, and a lot of other guys make appearances. You mentioned Bob Cousy earlier in the movie, among others. All right, so wait a minute. Finding Forrester, and give me a couple of more real quick.
Finding Forrester, the one with Sean Connery, which was really good. I also enjoyed, what was that?
What about
called?
The fish that saved Glory Pittsburgh? Road. What about fish that saved Pittsburgh from way back when?
Oh, with the great Dr. J, you can't beat that.
Now, Glory Road, based on the true story of the Texas Western basketball team, with Josh Lucas playing Coach Don Haskins, and they became the first all-black starting five to not only play for the national championship, but beat famed Lily White Kentucky and Adolph Rupp and win the national title. So, yeah, Glory Road is a good one.
Well, last but not least, I can't not mention Above the Rim, which I told you has got Dwayne Martin, who was in Scream 2, and also the late Tupac Shakur.
How about that? All right. So,
and Leon from Cool Runnings is also in it.
Okay, so we got to check out those basketball movies. But,
yes, sir.
But Hoosiers, we know, will be on over and over again every March. And anytime that it's on, you and I were watching. So, again, fans can tweet us about that. They can tweet you at the famous J. They can tweet me at Buck Sideline Guy. Did we pretty well do the 30th anniversary of the release of Hoosiers Justice in 2016?
I think so. Such a great, great movie. Just talking about it makes me want to go watch it again.
I want to go see it again just to watch the crowd scenes. And how about the announcer that's doing the introductions at the very beginning of the game is the actual same announcer from the famed 1954 Milan High School game on the radio. The radio announcer is the same guy. They use the same one. How cool is that?
Everything about that movie is cool. I wouldn't change a thing.
That Hilliard Gates is his name. You'll see him very briefly where he's doing the radio and the radio calls. That's the same announcer that is on the famed radio calls when Milan wins the actual championship in 1954. So there's a cool throwback from Hoosiers. All right, I think we pretty well covered all of it. What a fantastic movie. Did you have fun? I said to you about an hour ago, were we going to have fun on this movie? Did you have fun?
Oh, my gosh. It's just great memories. Like I told you, it was like visiting old friends. Talking about it, it's like talking about old friends.
We hope you enjoyed this special edition of We've Seen That on the 30th anniversary of Hoosiers. Again, a reminder, follow us on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook and Instagram at We've Seen That. Also, whether you found the show on Blog Talk Radio, subscribe to the show as well on iTunes and Stitcher for our full catalog of previous episodes. I want to thank Jay Betzel for a great job reminiscing. Again, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up. It is March. It is Hoosiers. And we thank you for being with us. I'm TJ Reeves on We've Seen That.